God wants to work through all of us. Yeah, say that again. God wants to work through all of us without exception. And he does not limit his grace and his power to a select few or elite group of people. However, it is oftentimes we who set limits on the type of people God chooses or places where he calls. So often what happens is that we think the way human beings do, with our own prejudices, with our own experiences and reasoning. However, we fail to notice the broader spectrum by which God works. We forget that God is not limited by the brokenness of the instrument, but mends sinners with his grace and still calls them to witness to him. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit today moves with a kind of power that can't be manipulated or restrained. And we see that twice in today's readings. The first time, the Lord comes down in a cloud and speaks to Moses in the first reading, and then God chooses to bestow his Spirit upon 70 others. But when even two of those 70 were not in the camp to begin to prophesy, Joshua asked Moses to stop them. Moses rightly refuses because he knows that he doesn't control the Spirit of God. And then, praise be the disciples and the apostles, they give me hope. Because you think that people who are familiar with the Jewish history would get the hint, right? Nope. Thanks be to God. Because the disciples today fall into the same trap. John warns Jesus in the gospel that another person, someone who wasn't in their in crowd, has been healing in Jesus' name. And Jesus doesn't rebuke the healer, but instead replies, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me." These words present a twofold challenge for us today, because they essentially reveal, one, that God is not limited by the time or space or person, that he calls even those we least expect. And the second is, God is not limited even by our own misconceptions and failings. And so we cannot excuse ourselves from God's work simply because we don't fit the usual mold of who we think God chooses. I recently helped organize an all-school retreat at Notre Dame Prep, and one of the speakers, Jason Everett, in his talk, Why Be Catholic, related the story of a relatively unknown saint who was a religious brother in a small town. Apparently, this town had a lot of sexual vice where there was a well-known home of women of ill repute. As part of his evangelization efforts, this religious brother started meeting with these women and asked them how much they usually got paid to spend the night with men. He would then give them that same amount and instead spend the night with them, catechizing them about the faith, talking to them about the scriptures and God's love for them. And many of the women who met with this religious brother started to convert. However, one morning as he was leaving the brothel, one of the parishioners saw this religious brother was so scandalized that he started to beat and pound on this guy before he could even explain. The women ran outside and started to shout and to try to clear the matter, but it was too late. The brother had fallen on the ground from the beating, hit his head, and died. At the funeral, these same women left their former lifestyle and processed after his coffin, and these parishioners were shocked that they were processing at the funeral, at Mass, and they later attested to the holiness of this man who made such a difference in their life. Now, why do I tell this? It doesn't mean now go out and start evangelizing at brothels, right? But I tell this story because I think, how many times do we make automatic rash judgments like Joshua or John and try to stop people who may be, in fact, doing God's work? How often do we think of others and cast them aside because of their reputation, because they are not included in the in-group, without the thought that God is able to work even in the most sinful of hearts? Instead, we can try to cast blame and try to prevent their good works. And as St. James says in the second reading, you have condemned, you have murdered the righteous ones. He offers you no resistance. Like Joshua and the disciples and the man who beat the poor religious saintly brother, we could instead be working against those very people God has chosen to proclaim his word. Now, there's a flip side to this too. While we can't limit ourselves and others from being chosen by God, once we do encounter the Lord and we know him, our lives must reflect this encounter. Moses said, "Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets." Notice how Moses doesn't say, "Would only priests, religious, or only good-looking deacons be the ones," right? "to be the prophets," right? No, he doesn't say that. He wants every one of us to be his prophets, because no one is left out from the call of God to proclaim his works and reflect it through our actions. That is why Jesus emphasizes that we should not prevent those working in his name from great deeds, and follows up with not being a source of scandal to the little ones who believe in him. Because that means if something in our lives causes us to sin, we shouldn't be like, just like, "Oh, okay, it's no big deal. I can just, you know, go to confession. It's, you know, I'll be forgiven anyway. God knows." No. Jesus says to cut it off, pluck it off right now. And so that sometimes means that if we even love someone and that we're in a relationship and this person isn't leading us to good things, we might have to say, "You know what? We either have to correct our behavior or I have to not associate with you." It might mean sometimes that our cell phones or smartphones, like if these are not leading us to God, we might have to get a flip phone. You guys know what that means? It's like there's no internet, it's just texting. Showing my age here, right? But we might have to pluck it off. Or sometimes, and I think it's a big thing right now that's happening in our culture, it might mean that if sports gets in the way of our Sunday Mass and encountering of our Lord here at the Eucharist, it might mean, "You know what? I'm going to have to miss that game because I know who is truly important here." Because Jesus says we have to use his name, right? But it's not a magic formula. It's not like a magic, like, I'm going to say Jesus' name and then I'm going to do great deeds and poof, everything's going to happen. No, when Jesus says to use his name, it means that he is dwelling within us and he wants to give us the graces in our hearts in order to work through him, to work through others. Because Pope Paul VI says, "Man does not listen to teachers but to witnesses. And if he does listen to teachers, it is because they are witnesses." My godmother lives in Brisbane, Australia, and there's a former politician there, Governor Bill Hayden, who was openly atheistic and very anti-Catholic most of his life. But just 2 weeks ago, he made like big news over there when he was baptized at St. Mary's Catholic Church. And so people are wondering what accounted for his radical change. He said in an interview, "There's been a gnawing pain in my heart and soul about what is the meaning of life. What's my role in it? And I can no longer accept that human existence is self-sufficient and isolated. There has to be somebody else. And it was in witnessing so many selfless acts of compassion by Christians over my lifetime and deep contemplation while recovering from a stroke that prompted my decision to convert." So many selfless acts of compassion by Christians. This is what moved his heart. So today, let's check our speech and our works. How do I respond to others in the workplace? How do I write emails? How do I speak to people on the phone, drive on the road? How do I treat others at home in my family, my parents, my siblings, my classmates? If anybody was to look into our life exteriorly, would they know that we are Catholics, that we are Christians? Am I willing to put aside my pride and ask forgiveness for my sins, being willing to pluck or cut them out, especially in confession? Then, here's the clincher. will I be willing to not use my past life as an excuse to think that God is not calling me to be his witnesses now, even if I have struggled with embarrassing faults or big sins in the past, such as alcoholism, suicidal thoughts or actions, abortion, sexual acts outside of marriage. For remember, God is not limited by our perceptions or misconceptions, or even by our sins that we have humbly confessed. But he chooses all of us to be his prophets, so that his message of truth, mercy, and love may be proclaimed to the ends of the earth.